Happy
Hi.
birthday, my friend.
Thank you.
I want the balloons. Can I do the balloons?
There you
Happy birthday
go.
to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Justin. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Welcome to Life Stuff, everybody. We are having another guest today, and I guess we're on the family train these days because I keep wanting to have family members on. Last week, if you didn't watch the episode, we talked about basically letting kids be kids, like letting kids be who they want to be. And part of that, I think, was prompted by a conversation about parenting, which led me to want to invite my cousin, and basically she's like a sister to me because we grew up really close to each other. And she's a mother of two boys. And so I thought it would be a great opportunity to talk to her about what it's like to be a mom in today's world. And Eddie brought up one of his friends last episode about the way he and his wife or partner raise their boys. So we're on this family train right now, and we're excited to talk more. We're not sure where it's gonna go because neither of us have kids, but it's a huge part of the queer conversation, the gay conversation is parenting, because parents have a lot of effect on kids. And
Yeah, particularly, and we did talk about this because of how, kids these days and growing up, they're like, when we were growing up, it was black and white. You were a boy or you were a girl. And now it's like, well, there's non-binary, and it's like, okay, I'm not sure. Do I want to be a girl? Do I want to be a boy? And so these are things that we never dealt with when we were growing up. And so as a parent, and this is what we talked about last week, my friend and massage therapist Joe, I mean, that's what he was dealing with his son. And not that his son was questioning what he was, but you'll have to watch the episode to see what that was all about. And it was just really cool because here is someone, around your age, Justin, who was like, wow, like you're encouraging, your son to look the way he wants to look, and
regardless of what others are going to say about him,
exactly,
you know.
exactly. Anyway, let's bring your cousin on. Let's bring Dara on, and we'll see where this goes. Well, Dara, it's nice to meet you.
You too.
So, what's the connection? Your mother, father is Justin. Like,
Our
what?
dads are brothers.
Your dads are brothers. Okay.
Yeah.
Lauren is my dad's oldest brother. Cool. So Don and his twin sister are the youngest. No, Joan is the
Yeah.
oldest.
Well,
Lauren and
Joan is, yeah.
but they were pretty inseparable as brothers.
Yeah.
And they farmed together for many years, and we grew up a mile apart from each other. So like that's why when I introduced you before you got on, Dara, I was like, she's like my sister.
Yeah. Sister from another mister, brother from another mother.
Our families did everything together when we were younger. So like we really didn't feel that separate from each other. And our parents were each other's godparents. So like there was a lot of connection between the two families.
Do you live in Saskatoon?
No, so I actually live in North Carolina right now. Yeah. So I'm from Saskatchewan. I moved to Winnipeg, so that's really where I live. But I'm living in North Carolina. I moved here in June of last year, and we're here for 1 year.
Okay,
So
like
yeah, so my husband's doing a neurology fellowship, medical fellowship at Wake University in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So,
wow.
yes. Seems random, but the program was worth it.
the program was worth it, and North Carolina is worth it. I love it here. It's like beautiful. It's amazing.
Let's just dive right in because we already talked about this a little bit in the intro. Last week and the week before even, the themes of parenthood keep coming up in our discussions about like being queer and being living in this world, and how much impact and effect our parents have had on us in the development of becoming who we are. And like it came up in our sibling episode that we did a couple of weeks ago. And then last week, Eddie talked to his friend, had an interaction with his massage therapist about how he's raising his boys. And I've, you know, always admired the way that you have chosen to raise your kids. You have two little boys, you and your husband. And, you know, that's a choice that you're making. And I wonder, was it a conscious choice that you made, or was it just like, it just made sense to you to do it this way? And maybe even, you know, get into to telling people a little bit about the dynamic of your family.
Well, okay. So Mike, I don't know. Did you say how old my kids were or anything?
No. I'm going to let you decide how much you want to reveal in terms of.
Okay. Well, my kids, I have two boys and they're 6 and 7 years old. So they're very close in age. They're best friends, worst enemies, you know, the whole thing. I don't find that the way that I parent is different, but it tends to be, because I get comments on it all the time about the fact that I don't helicopter my kids. I am very open. We talk about everything. For us, communication is the most important thing. And the reason that I don't helicopter my kids or have big boundaries on them is because I want them to grow into themselves and understand at a young age what trust is. So, like, for instance, I have let my kids play outside on their own since they were 3 years old. And a lot of people wouldn't do that. And that's not to say that, like, I'm like, run free. Like, that's not what it is. But I have set up boundaries for my kids that I trust that they won't break. And then it's about communication and not holding anything back. Like, I'm completely honest. My kid has a question. I'm not going to sugarcoat the answer. I tell them straight up, like, we talk about everything. We talk about bodies in the right way. We talk about respect. We talk about different situations happening in the world. We talk about guns now that we're living in the States. We talk about mental health. We talk about like just being open to others and accepting others as they come. And I feel like a lot of parents these days, and it's not, I'm not trying to like judge other parents, but they sugarcoat things or they don't tell the truth to their kids or they're not as honest with their kids. And I think it comes back to kind of bite them in the butt a little bit. So like where kids are maybe pushing boundaries when they're older. And
can you give some examples of like, you know, the things that you talk about and you know, where you don't sugarcoat or you're honest or whatever, like.
Yeah. And in the midst of that, even what their reactions have been sometimes, because like, you know, what the one thing that came to mind that you've talked a little bit to me about is just even the therapy that one of your kids has done. And like, that is it in itself amazing, but has been a journey.
Yeah. Like my kids they're not perfect. But you know, for a while, my oldest son, who's 7, he for about a year and a half went through this, and it's ongoing, but was very just so much negative self-talk, and it was about his self-worth. And I've personally never struggled with any mental health crisis or mental health issues. And so I found that for myself, I wasn't somebody who could talk to him about it and understand him with it. And so we put him into some therapy sessions. We found somebody that I trusted and knew would really help him to be able to grow and learn about his emotional self. And Yeah, it's really helped him. I mean, even on our walk to school today, that's where I have my best conversations with my kids, is walking to school with them. They just have the funniest things to say, but they also, like, my oldest is so, so smart, and he's walking to school and he's like, I don't know why my brother is so competitive. Cause he was racing his friend. We were walking with a friend to school. He's like, I don't know why he's so competitive. I was like, you know, competitiveness, like you have to win. And, you know, he gets really upset when he doesn't win. And he's like, well, but you should really learn to just be proud of trying. It shouldn't be about winning and losing. You should just be really proud of yourself. You showed up and you did it. And maybe it was uncomfortable. And I'm like listening to him. It's like, wow, from a kid who came from running out the door screaming that he hated himself and that he was, you know, not worth anything and whatever, for him to now kind of pedal back and recognize, you know, that you should just be proud for showing up and trying your best and doing, I don't know, like that was a really wonderful moment. It's like, yeah, I couldn't help him as a parent, but I know that this therapist did and really like gave him the tools, and he was able to.
I think there's something there, Dara, where you're allowing your, you know, you talked about a little bit, like you're not a helicopter parent, but even to take that further, you're also willing to find others to help in ways that you, like, I think as a mother, maybe sometimes a mother feels like they have to be everything to their child. Like this, I am the mother. I need to be the one to do everything for them. But it sounds like you were open. You like took yourself out of the equation in order to help them in the best way possible, which in this case was the therapist, like that she would be able to understand. And then he could open up to you even more.
Yeah. In a way I mean, connect. I think as a parent, it's really hard to not think of your kids as miniature yous. You get sucked into this because people tell all the time, like they look at your kid and they're like, oh, that is like so you. They're such a mini Dara, or they're such a mini Nick, or whatever. And then you kind of categorize them, and it doesn't allow them to blossom into them, like into their own selves. Like the kids are put into a box at such an early age. And as a parent, you do that too. When you're describing your kid to somebody, you're like, oh, like my youngest, he's so athletic. He's so caring and kind. Meanwhile, my older kid is listening to me, how I describe him, like his younger brother, to people. And then he starts thinking, oh, like, am I not those things? Do I not fit into, like, can I not be that person too? And like kids are, they're always listening to you. They're constantly listening. And so when you describe your kid to somebody, like I just was something that we've tried really hard, and Nick and I talk about all the time, is not doing that. Like not right. necessarily saying, like, you can, or putting them into the same grouping of like, oh, they're really caring, or they're very thoughtful. It's not about what they're good at or bad at, or what they look like, or, oh, like my youngest loves wearing Michael Jordan stuff, and, or this one has long hair and that one has short hair, and this one likes to wear, like, whatever, you know. It's, but I just want my kids to know that it doesn't, like, you're not confined. Like, just because I'm one way, like, you aren't me, and I don't want you to be me. I'm not trying to fix my past or like trying to redo by influencing my kids. Do I want them to be into sports and like play sports? Absolutely. But I'm not going to push it on them. And I'm not gonna, like, I want them to have the world, essentially. I want them to know that they can have what they want. And it doesn't matter. Like, and that's why we talk about everything and we build this trust, because I want to make sure that even though at this point they aren't questioning their sexuality, they're not questioning, you know, if they're gay or if they're straight, but if down the line they decide that they know that we are we are open to everything, and it doesn't matter. Like, you are not a box. You are not put into a box, and I don't think of you as a certain way.
You know, kids are, when they're young, and, you know, particularly your kid's age and even younger, they're very carefree and open, and just like, they're just so, yeah, free to say and do whatever they want. But then at some point, they're told, you can't do that, you know, not be that way, not to act that way. And it either comes from outside or from the parents. And I think that's such a shame. And it sounds like you guys don't do that, and you allow your kids to be who they want to be.
We try. Yeah.
And it's a conscious effort between the two of you, even the way you're talking about how you'll reflect upon conversations, and you guys don't, even between the two of you as parents, don't hold it against each other to keep each other accountable to the goal that you set of wanting to keep it as a safe space where you don't confine your kids to a box. I mean, I think that that's amazing, but it requires a level of like, oh, I need to keep on top of this too. Like, this isn't just about me being like, I love you guys so much. It's like, I want to make sure that the language I'm using keeps allowing them to be who they want to be.
I mean, it's really hard because as a parent, you want to be everything for your kids. And it's like that line of, I don't know, wanting to keep them innocent and young forever, but also teaching them how to grow up. Because I just, for me, like, I feel a big responsibility of just raising good boys and good people, because our world needs people who are kind and who have courage and will stand up for others. And there is no greater moment for me than when I hear that my kid has done that. And I've had those wonderful moments of, you know, my youngest, when we moved here, he, like, there was this kid, he's in kindergarten. There was a kid in another grade, and he's really, really small. He maybe looks a little bit different. He's not very fast, and the kids would chase him around. And so he was explaining that to me, and I was like, well, how does this kid feel about it? And he's like, well, he cried. And I'm like, okay, well, what does that tell you if he cried? And he's like, well, I don't think he liked that very much. I'm like, okay, so maybe how could we, like, what could we do to make this, this better? And I'm not trying to give him the answers. I want him to think. I want him to think about what he needs to do. And, you know, the next day he said to me, Mom, I did it. The kids were chasing him, and I went and I stood in between them, and I said, nope, we're not playing this game anymore. And then they went and they ran, and now they're friends, and they have more friends. And, you know, like, he figured it out for himself, but I feel like it's those life lessons of kind of, I don't know, like, you never know how your kids are going to be impacted when they go to school, because they're out of your wing. They are, there's so many influences coming in, and it can be really scary. But if you don't communicate and talk and have that level of trust, which is why we started to build it so early on, like, you're, I don't know, you're just not going to hear about things and then help them to be better. Like, being kind to people also makes you feel good.
What was the, sorry, Eddie, go for it.
Well, no, I was just going to say, I mean, you know, my first reaction, and I think a lot of people's would be when you first said, when Justin said or asked you, how old were your kids? And when you said 6 and 7, I was like, whoa, they're so young. And they're so young to be learning and to be taught what you're teaching them. But it's the exact opposite. It's exactly when they need to be taught and need to be learned and need to be, like, Justin and I always, I mean, all our episodes are about life lessons. And, you know, we're older, and but these kids are learning these life lessons so young, which is so incredible. And that's what is needed. You know, as you said, these kids need to learn this at a younger age. Because when they do go to school, they get very influenced by people who aren't taught like you're teaching their kids. you know?
Yeah. And I guess that's how I'm like, I guess how Justin would say I'm parenting different. You know, for me, it's like, this is just how it should be. So I don't think of it as something that's different. But it's important. And, you know, even just coming from Canada from Winnipeg, most of our neighborhood was full of white people. You know, like there are some Filipinos and Aboriginal and things like that. But then you come here and like now my kids are like one of four white kids in their class. And that's, you know, they're the minority. And my kids have had comments about like, oh, because they have blonde hair like me and fair skin. And it's like, you know, my oldest had comments of this girl's like, I hate the color of your hair. And I'm like, okay, like, and what did you say to that? And he's like, well, I like my hair. And I'm like, great. Then that's wonderful. Like,
yes.
You know, like you're going to get comments, but like, how do you respond? And then he's like, that wasn't a very nice thing. I'm like, no, but you know, like you also never know how they're feeling about themselves. And you were kind in your response. You didn't get mad. You don't hate her now. You're not gonna, you know, hold a grudge. You just like, you got it and you moved on. And that's how I am as a person. Like I'm a very positive, wanna look for the best in people. Like I hate having arguments. I'm not like I wouldn't say that I'm a pushover or anything like that, but I like to resolve conflict and I like to come out of it feeling positive. And that's something that I just wanna teach my kids because you hold a grudge and you get mad at her for that. Like, what is that? Like now your day is what? Like that was nothing.
I'm curious over the years, because this has taken time, you said, to build this level of trust with your boys and between you and Nick. Like if you reflect on that a little bit, like what have been some of the highs and lows of that experience for you? Like, cause I'm sure it wasn't rosy the whole time. Like their reaction to certain conversations, or were they, because you presented this as just the way it is, did they just accept it immediately and like keep coming back to you knowing they could share their thoughts and feelings? And cause I mean, I know your oldest, you know, did go through some ups and downs of self-worth at a pretty young age that I think was a bit rocky, but yeah. Do you have any?
I feel like it's just kind of always been this way. I mean, because of the way that I was raised, we talked about everything. Nick came from a family where they didn't talk about everything. He was very, more of a closed book, like more of a, kind of like typical guy, you know, of like not really going to talk about emotion. And I had to work really, really hard. I mean, we've been together now for over 16 years. And I had to work really hard at the beginning to open him up and show him that it's okay to be vulnerable. And so another example of walking home from school, this was just a few weeks ago. And my youngest was talking to me, my oldest was talking to me, and they were both like yelling in my ears. And I was just like, yeah, okay, okay, okay. Like trying to, and I was getting so frustrated. And then when we were just about home, my oldest says to me, Mom, I feel like you didn't really care to hear what I was saying about my day at school today. And I was like, oh, like, dang, like that sucked. Like because that's not like, I try really, really hard. And yes, you can't always pay 100% attention, but for him to recognize that and just say like, it felt like you didn't care. And then it just got me thinking like, how many kids feel that way all the time? Like,
but don't even know how to voice it.
But don't know how to voice it.
Learned how to voice it.
Yeah. And then they just continue to hold it in constantly. Like that moment for me was just like, oh, like I'm so glad that you can voice that to me, but oh, I felt so bad. So then I, you know, sat down and I try to give my kids eye to eye conversation or to respond and like really listen. And that's why walking home from school and to school is my favorite time, because There's no distractions. I'm typically not upset. We're walking in nature. We're having a good time. And, but yeah, like it's just that growth that my kids have had where they can recognize their feelings and then tell me what I did wrong or how they felt towards me. And then I can learn from that. Like I'm an adult, but I am constantly learning. My kids have shown me so much. And I think that people are also just into their phones too much or letting their kids watch too much TV. And I'm not trying to judge people. Everybody has their moments or their reasons of doing things. But I don't know. It's just like, for me, trust and communication. And that's, I guess, where my parenting style maybe differs from other people.
You know, it sounds like you have the time to do this with your kids. You know, what about, I mean, parents who don't have that kind of time, you know, both parents are, you know, working, you know, full time. Like, how do you, I mean, that's part one of the question. And the other is about discipline. You know, like, how do you, I mean, there are a lot of kids out there who are very undisciplined. And I think they're undisciplined because the parents don't spend time with them, you know, to teach them. So I don't know, I'm kind of asking two questions here, but you know, what would you say to that?
Well, when my husband and I got married, it was a year after we got married, and he had started med school. And we went to a marriage counselor just for a 1 year checkup. It's kind of just customary where we're from. And the therapist had said, like, you know, you're entering a very, very busy time in your life. I'm going to encourage you to spend 15 minutes to half an hour every day just together. Like, just concentrate on togetherness, because it's not that much time. People spend 15, 20, 30 minutes scrolling their phone or doing whatever. It can be even when you're making supper, right? Like, you put the time aside and you make a conscious effort to just be together, have conversation. And it's the exact same thing with your kids. Like, have meaningful conversation. Put down the device, look your kid in the eye, you know, like, make them feel like they're really heard and validate what they have to say. And then maybe challenge them on it. Challenge them on something that they said, or, you know, I know a lot of parents say, like, oh, I can't get my kid to talk to me about what happened in school. That's a very common thing of like, how, like, my kids blab about their whole day. They'll tell me everything down to what they ate, but I had to work on that with them. Like, but you know, if you could just ask them even like, hey, what was like the best part of your day today? Or what made you sad? And then they'll tell you what made them sad. And it's like, okay, so what did you do to come out of that? Like, did your day turn around or did you continue to be sad? And like, I think those questions that you ask your kids and engaging them, that's what gets their mind working. And then that puts them in touch with their own emotions and their own self. And I think that's how your kid grows to be like emotionally and aware. And if that makes sense, is that kind of answer?
Totally. Absolutely. Totally.
I feel like you're giving your boys the tools and just even the confidence to like go inward, which is something we talk about all the time on Life Stuff too, that it like showing up as your authentic self requires you to have a level of like inward dialogue. Like, how do I actually feel? And you're giving them these tools to explore those things. Not that there's a right or a wrong way, but that they actually have to do the work. And you guys get to be a part of that work by prompting questions, having real interactions with them. And even those include the moments where you fail and you don't listen. And then they get to voice that made them feel a certain way. And then you guys get to respond to each other. And it just is, although in those moments, it doesn't feel beautiful, hearing about it sounds beautiful, because that is life. Life is a mixture of all these peaks and valleys. and we can be okay with that. They don't have to rock our world every time they happen so deeply.
For me, it's like people are going to say no to you. That doesn't mean that you did something wrong or that you suck at that, but no is a part of our world. And if you can't learn how to react to no, then you're kind of in trouble.
That part, it's going to be really shitty. It's going to be so hard. Everything's going to feel like it's the worst.
Yeah, exactly. And I think kids so often are just handed what they want because it's easier than saying no. And I mean, I'm at fault for that too sometimes. Like, I'm not going to fight you. I mean, you got to pick your battles always. But learning how to respond and then grow from it is so important. And not taking things so personally and teaching them at a young age that things half the time just don't matter. And yes, for a child, they don't have big responsibilities. So the little things feel like big things. And that's something that's okay too. And we can acknowledge that. But it's, you know, if that's your big thing, how do we grow from that moment, you know? And I just feel like I need to grow help kids for the next generation to be open and to be loving so that our world can get bigger and better in those areas. And like the best way for me to show my friends and family who do fit into the queer category or into, like, you know, whether you're like African-American or you're Aboriginal or whatever, like this is my way to show that I love you and that I care. It's not like, even though, do you know what I mean? Like I feel that responsibility because I want better. And
I know your kids are young, but has the conversation come up at all with them about gay people or queer people?
Oh yeah. Our best friends are gay, and my youngest, he's so funny. Like, so we were talking about having like babies. And so I told them all about how babies are formed, like down to the nitty gritty, which they were like, oh my goodness. I'm like, yeah. And so my youngest is like, I want to be gay. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, why do you want to be gay? He's like, 'cause I want to adopt a baby. And I'm like, okay, well that's fine, but you don't have to be gay to, 'cause we were saying, you know, if you're in a gay couple, two men, you know, you either need to find somebody to help you make a baby or you would adopt. And so he's like, I want to adopt. And I'm like, okay, well, you don't have to be gay to adopt a baby. I'm like, look at your auntie. He's like, my auntie is adopted? And I'm like, she's Chinese, dude. Like, yeah. She's adopted. And he was like so taken back by that. But I'm like, you don't see race. You don't see, like, you just feel love and you feel family. And I'm so happy for that. Like, I just love that he, but anyways, and then, you know, he's like, well, and I'll just call them Uncle M and Uncle S. They're just so cool. Like I want to live with my best friend. And I'm like, well, you can, like your best friend could be a guy. Your best friend could be like mommy and daddy are best friends. Like it could be somebody who's non-binary. And like, we've talked about that. Like, you know, like you fall in love with who you fall in love with. And they think that's so cool. Like, I mean we're lucky because we have really amazing people in our lives who fit into, you know, like who are just very good examples of just being wonderful people in love. And you know, it just like it doesn't matter.
And that's where it all comes from. I mean, it comes from the parents. I mean, when kids are come out of the womb, they're like, they're nothing. You know what I mean? Like they're like, yeah. And so how they develop,
just a sponge. They're just a sponge.
Exactly. Yeah. And so they learn from everything around them. And I mean, I, you know, Justin was telling me about you before, and it's like, wow. I mean, from listening to you, wow, you guys are incredible parents and what you're teaching your kids. And I mean, I tell you, we wouldn't have all these problems in this world if there were, you know, more parents like you. In wrapping this up, and I know, I mean, you've said a lot of amazing things, but how would you, like, if someone said to you, like, I'm gonna say to you, what would be the, and I know it's a big question, but in summary of basically everything that you said, what is your best advice to parents out there?
My best advice is to just keep talking to your kids, but like truly, truly listen. And just communication. Like no topic is too small. Because if your kid is telling you something, it matters to them. Like my kid talked to me 5 minutes the other day about how he tried to hold a fart in all day at school. But it mattered so much to him that he kept talking about it, and I listened. I did. I listened the whole time, and I'm just like,
Work.
man, like that must have really sucked for you, you know? Like, and that was that. But like, it mattered, and I think it's so easy. We live in this fast-paced world where people are, you're rushing to do this, you're rushing to do that, and it doesn't have to be a constant thing or an all-day thing. But like, start with 5 minutes of conversation and ask your kid a very simple question that's not a yes or no answer, but for them to just expand on it, and then they'll tell you, and then I think your trust is just expands between the two of you, and then the communication is there. And then, you know, my hope is just that when my kids are older and they really do have big issues, that they know that I'm there. My husband is there. Their family's there.
Can we also say, and along with that, is to not put your beliefs into them, and allowing them to be who they are, and guiding them through that process.
Yeah, definitely. And just remember that just like your kids, trying to teach your kids that their words matter, your words matter. They are listening to you. So even though, yeah, the way you describe your children to others, it impacts them, and it puts boundaries on them. And that's not my job as their mom to put boundaries on them. It's to make them feel that they can have the world.
I want to just give you an example of how we got to all this, and you today and stuff, and I don't know if you watched our episode from last week
I did,
about,
yeah.
you did?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't even have to tell you. So there was a guy who, like, his kid had long hair and was made fun of at school, and came home and said, "I want to get my hair cut." And then, as the kid got a little older, then he started growing his hair again. And then they had this conversation with him, and allowing him to be who he wants to be. He liked his long hair, you know. And so this is where I was going with this, is like, they could easily have said, "Well, you know what? You're a boy, and you shouldn't have long hair, and you know, it's not good that people are making fun of you," like all that stuff. But no, they didn't do that. They just had, like you said, they talked to him, they listened to him, and they let him do what, you know, be who he wanted to be. And I just think that's just so incredible for, I think it takes discipline on the parents' part.
Well, it's like it shows how confident the parents are. Because if you're not a confident parent, you feel the insecurities of your kid. And it's so easy to hold that burden. And yeah, like, you know, my kid wears something, he's conscious of it. He's like, what if, you know, he didn't want to wear his Halloween costume to school because he was afraid that kids would make fun of him. And it's like, no, like if you don't want to, and I just said, like, it's Halloween, you don't have to. Like, if this makes you feel uncomfortable, you don't have to do it. Kids will be dressed up, they're not gonna care. But like, you do what makes you comfortable. But as a parent, you hold that. But if you're not confident as a person yourself, it's really hard to push your kid to be confident too, you know?
Absolutely.
All right.
Well, thank you so much for, you know, these are, some of these conversations we've had, they're such big iceberg, huge conversations to be had. And even just, you know, that little tip of the iceberg that we touched upon today, which is, you know, your experience as a mother and the things that you've gone through and with your kids, like, it just, these are so important, we think. And we want people to know that there's parents out there like you. Even queer kids heal from hearing these things because maybe they didn't have that.
You should, Dar, you should teach a course on parenting. Because, you know, not to put a downer on this, but, you know, I you know, I think this world's in trouble. And and it what's going to change it are the kids. And I think it's up to the parents, you know, to teach their kids. And if this world is going to survive, it's going to come from kids like your kids, you know?
Well, and I just find, like, it's even more important for me as a straight woman, I think, to teach our kids that, because I think it's very easy for kids who come from, queer parents of some area to know that love and to be more aware of it and to be more sensitive of it if it's something that's a really positive experience, you know. But if you come from a straight family, it's so easy to just put the blinders on and to not to then get, again, like, put the normal family into a box. And if you're not educated on it, you're never gonna change. It's never gonna change.
Because, Dara, this goes back to one of my original points. Somewhere that kid who's now older has learned to hate gay people.
Yeah.
And has learned that gay and queer is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that they didn't come out of the womb thinking that. They were taught that, and that's the problem, you know. And so that's why, like, we have all these situations and problems in the world, because these people who are older were taught this when they were younger. And so we need more and more and more parents like you and Nick to teach their kids, and then we're going to have a much better world. The key to any relationship, you know, whether it's friends or lovers or kids or whatever it is, and you talked about it, that's, I think, the main thing of everything you said is communication.
Yeah, and not waiting till they're older, you know. And I think that's where we differ, is right off the bat, it was the language we used and the direction that we went. And it's not one of those, oh, when you're older, I'll tell you about it.
Yeah.
Because I think that's often what kids hear, and then it's like, why? Like, what? Yeah. Like, why?
And, you know, how did you and your husband get to where you are? And you said he was very different when you guys first met, and you got there because of communication. Justin and I have the friendship that we have is because of communication, you know, is because, you know, we had some rough times, but, you know, we communicated and we talked through it. And that's, you know, that was a process, and it's a process with your kids, and that's what you're going through, you know, but you have to be committed to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and not just put, you know, I know parents who put an iPad in front of their kids when they're having dinner. Like, no, that's not communicating.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, we have.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay. No, well, no. We actually had, my in-laws were out visiting, and they had some friends from Delaware come, and she had commented at supper, and we were sitting, like, we were hanging out at our place. And so it's not like we went anywhere, and I had made supper for everybody, and we were having supper. And she was like, I just have to say, not one time has your child asked for a screen, asked to watch TV or play video games or go on their phone. They played basketball outside. They played board games. They played, like, they did things, but they just never once asked. She's like, that's very refreshing. She's like, I haven't been in this situation where that it was a very nice compliment. And that's not to say my kids don't watch, like they do. They watch TV. They have video game days specifically. And then they know when it's not, and they find other things. But it was nice to hear and to be acknowledged, or for somebody who doesn't know me to recognize and to kind of, yeah, to voice that and to say like, hey, like this was great. And it's like, yeah. And that's also just so sad that that's the norm. Like, it's not normal that people have to comment on it.
Yes.
But it was also beautiful that it was a moment where you got to be seen as the mother you are. And I think that you also extend that gift to your kids by like the way you communicate with them. They feel seen, they feel heard. And that's often all anybody wants in life, mm-hmm. truly, base level. Like, that's all anybody wants is to feel seen.
From a child to an older person, we just want to be acknowledged and to be seen.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, on that note.
That's it.
All right.
Thank you so much, my darling. I hope you have a wonderful birthday.
Thank you. It was lovely to be able to see you on my birthday.
I know.
I love you so much.
I love you too. Bye. Well,
thank you for this. Bye.
Bye.
She's pretty special.
Pretty incredibly special, yes.
You know, this change, the change that we need in this world starts somewhere. And, you know, like I said in the episode, we need more people like Dara and Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, I mean, not that I know a lot, but I don't think the way they do it, I don't think is the norm. It should be, you know, it should be, because then we wouldn't have the amount of craziness that we have in this world.
But the seed grows from somewhere, and they're one of those seeds that starts a different trend, that starts a different style. And that's why, you know, that's one of the reasons I wanted to share it, because even if it, you know, we've always said this, if it's one person that hears this, you just never know the ripple effect of sharing this information.
Because some people just don't know how.
Exactly.
They don't know how to parent.
Yeah, then she gives some pretty like basic, but also like it starts small. It starts with 5 minutes. It starts with just listening to your husband for 15. It's, you know, like there were some very simple things, but it's clear that those simple things are very foundational to the way they live their lives.
And the biggest thing I got out of it is just listening to your child.
Yeah.
You know, so, okay, my friend.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Testing that. Let's see what's next.
Exactly. We'll get there when we get there.
And happy birthday.
Thank you. This is 36, y'all. This is 36.
You look 26. You look 26.
Thank you.
All right, my friend.
All right.
See you. Love you. Bye.
Love you too. Oh, of course. I couldn't help myself today. It made sense.